Okay, so today we're going to finish, hopefully, Makos. Next 2 weeks after this, we're going to do Sugyos in Purim. It's going to be start from 8:15 to 9. But let's go. There's some really interesting. We'll try to do both, I guess.
Okay.
Right, you're coming next. You can come next week, or yeah, you're good. Next week is
what?
So we're going to finish the Masechta, so I'm going to do two topics on Purim,
okay.
And we'll do it here. We're going to start at 8:15. That'll only be 45 minutes. Okay. And we'll do it on Zoom as well. Okay.
Isn't the second week, isn't that already Purim?
No, Purim's on Friday.
Wednesday.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry.
So the Gemara, so we're up to Dav Makos, Dav Chaf Dalid, Amud Aleph, and we're up to the part where we find it says Amar Rav Yose Bar Chanina. So that is, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about 11 lines from the bottom of Dav Chaf Dalid Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Okay? Arba Gzeros, Gazar Moshe Rabbeinu Al Yisrael. So Moshe made four decrees about Kla Yisrael. Uba'u Arba Nevi'im Ubitlum. And four Nevi'im came and they canceled Moshe's decrees. That's a little strange because, well, what does that mean exactly? Moshe made four decrees. Now, was that on his own? Was he saying what in the name of God and in the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu? Then if so, like how can the Nevi'im just cancel it out? Like what does this mean? What does this line mean exactly? That he made four gzeros and the Nevi'im canceled it out. So the Aruch HaNer has a perspective on this. He asked this question. It says Va'al Pizeh Nirali Levayr Hamaimer Shamar Dal Gzeros Gazer Moshe. So I'm going to explain the four gzeros that Moshe made. Valo yesh lahakshos, and one can ask. V'chi Moshe Rabbeinu chas v'shalom sone Yisrael haya at shehutzuchu anavim levatos gzeros. So what? Was Moshe Rabbeinu an enemy of Klal Yisrael that he made these awful decrees against Klal Yisrael that the later Nevi'im had to cancel them? V'od v'chi hu gazar. V'od v'arv hayu divrei Kadosh Baruch Hu. What? Moshe himself made the gzera? If Moshe speaks, he's probably saying it in the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the name of God, v'im kei. And if so, heach navi Yachol Levatel, how can a Navi cancel what Moshe said in the name of Hashem? So, Achein Lefia Nira Ein Kanstira Klal Ben Diver Moshe Diver Nevi'im. So really, it seems there's no contradiction at all between what Moshe said when he made the Gzeira and what the Nevi'im did when they undid it. Rak Shemoshe Amar B'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Heim Perishu Devarav. What's going on here is that Moshe said these decrees in the name of Hashem, and the Nevi'im explained his words ad shema shehoya nira ki gzera bidvara pershuha litova. So apparently what appeared to be a decree in his words, they explained it for the good. In other words, they didn't really undo the gzera. In practice they did, but they explained it in a way that mitigated the negative effects of the gzera. And it appeared because of what they did, as if they canceled out his decree, but they really just explained it. So let's look at the Gemara and see, what Moshe said, and how the Nevi'im canceled it. So Moshe said, "Vayishkon Yisrael betach badav ein Yaakov." So Moshe said. That in Klai Yisrael will dwell secure when they are righteous people like Yaakov. So the idea of Ein Yaakov, when they are like the eye of Yaakov. In other words, when they are tzaddikim, that's when they're gonna dwell securely. And Ba Amos Ubitla. So Amos came and he sort of canceled this condition. Because why? Because what did he say? In Amos Perek Zayin Pasuk Hey, he Amos asked from Hashem Chadal Na Mi Yakum Yaakov, and he continues Ki Katon Hu. The pasuk basically says that he said, "Who can be a chassid like Yaakov Avinu?" As Moshe said, they're going to dwell secure only when they're like righteous like Yaakov. Amos prays to Hashem, and he says, "Who could be like Yaakov?" And then what happened? Uchsiv, Nicham Hashem Alzo. So Hashem, relented on this, and he relented from this condition. In other words, the simple understanding of this is that that Moshe said that they will dwell secure, but there's a condition. Amos davened that the condition can be waived, and Hashem listened to that. So it's as if he canceled the decree. If you look, say again, the Aruch Haner says, "Va'amos bitel shebikesh me'akadosh baruch hu sheyimchol avonos amal lo'an pishem." So Moshe Amar Ein Yaakov. Shelo yiskuli brachos dagon v'sirosh ela im yeh lokim imahem sheyiskal pidin. So Moshe said that they're not going to merit the blessings of bounty unless Hashem's with them, unless they merit it according to halacha, unless they're righteous. And Amos sort of canceled when he asked Hashem that he should forgive sheyimchol avanos amol man pishem ki lo yizachru od v'yiskal al piyadin. And so I guess Moshe says the name of Hashem, he makes a decree. So Amos Davin that the one condition of the decree will be annulled, and that's okay. That can be done. That's the way the Aruch Haner understands it. The second decree is that Moshe said, Uvagoyim Hahem Lo Sargia, that they're not gonna have, the Jewish people are not gonna have rest in Galus in exile. But Yirmiyah, but Amar Haloch Largio Yisrael. So Yirmiyah came and he cancelled it. And he said that basically the nation, that those who are left over from the sword, so Amsridichar of Haloch Largir Yisrael, even when they are going to be those remaining, they're going to be in the Galus, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with them to calm them, that they're going to have rest even in a state of, even a state of Galus. And the Aruch Haner explains, if you go back to Aruch Haner, he said that Moshe Marv Gormahim Lo Targiyah. Moshe said they're not going to find menucha, they're not going to find rest in exile. Why? So Yirmiyahu Amar Holocha Gir Yisrael, Dehaini Bemes, Shebagoyim Lo Yimatsim Margo Mitzim Shaloyit Nilohem Manoch Lakaf Raglam. So really, Moshe said, we don't want them to have rest. What happens if you have rest among Golos? What might you do if you can stay there and more than that? Assimilate. You might assimilate. In other words, Moshe is saying, when you're in exile, you're not gonna find rest among the nations. There's gonna be anti-Semitism. You might think it's bad, but the truth is it's good in some sense because it will prevent you from assimilating. And then, but Yirmiyah Amar Holoch Lagir Yisrael Dehainu Bemesher Bagoyim Lo Yimatsu Margo Mitzidam Shelo Yite Lohem Manoch Lekaf Raglam Av HaKadosh Baruch Hu Holoch Lahaniach Lohem Velite Lohem Margo Begos Mitzad Hashchina Shegosei Mohem, that the nations won't provide comfort, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina is with them in Galus, he'll provide some comfort for them. And Vim Kane, Ayadeza, Haisa Gzeras Moshe Latovasam, Shalyis Arvu Bagoyim. In other words, Moshe's Gzera was not that they should suffer. The goal was that they shouldn't have rest and they shouldn't have comfort in Gullah, so they shouldn't assimilate. So all Yirmiyah said is that, no, you're right. The Goyim shouldn't give you. You should sort of separate from the non-Jews, but God should provide you some comfort. And so he's tried to mitigate the effects of the decree of Moshe, which was for their good. The third decree is Moshe Avar Poked Avon Avos Albanim. So what does that mean? That the children suffer for the sins of their parents. But Yecheskel Bitla, Yecheskel canceled it. HaNefesh HaChote Is Hitamus. No, only the one who sins will get punished. Now, is that true? Is that true that you get punished for the sins of your parents? No. What? Right? So
if you continue the mice,
right. So the Marsha says that, by the way, that's not the only pasuk. One pasuk is poked avon avos albanim. But there's another pasuk. In other words, what happened here? Moshe said, poked avos albanim. So the sons, the children will get punished for the sins of their parents. But that's not the only thing he said. He also said, says the Marsha, ish b'cheto yumsu, that everyone dies for their sins. So Perakama, the brachos were mitan hani kroy adadi. In the first chapter brachos, we question these psukim on each other, mishanina, and we answer, chodikzi poken avon avos, kisha oksi mase avosem bidehem. When do we say that the children suffer for the sins of their parents, as Marty pointed out? That's when the children continue the sins of their parents. So when the children don't continue the sins of their parents, so then they're not punished. And as it seems, if the children continue the sins of their parents, they not only get punished for their own sin, but they also get punished for, they saw what their parents were doing and they didn't take notice. So if
I'll say the Torah, you get up to the fourth or fifth generation.
Third or fourth. That's possible. Avos albanim al shleshim val rubeim l'sonai. Yeah. So it can go to subsequent generations, but that's when you continue the sins. And as it seems, I might have argued the opposite. I might have argued, if my parents do it, I'm not responsible, you know, because I learned it from my parents. We're saying it's the opposite, that, you know, if you see your parents behaving in that kind of way, you have a special responsibility to take heed and to know better and not to follow in their footsteps. And if you do, so you're continuing. It's even worse.
Is there any reason why? Why these particular Nevi'im? Why they waited for Yimir to do this one and for the other one to that one? What is the connection between the Nevi'im to these Pesukim? Like, why wasn't Yechezkel involved or something like that? You know, why, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know specifically. I think they're just finding. They're finding things that these harsh situations, you know, what was the historical background? That I'm not sure for each, but I think they're finding within the Nevuah of each of these Nevi'im, they're finding how there's an inconsistency between what the Nevi'im seemed to prophesize and what Moshe prophesized. And I guess at that time, you know, I don't know what motivated Yechezkel to prophesy HaNefesh HaChotis Hi Tamus. You know, I'm not sure what the historical background. Maybe he felt that, you know, the Jewish people were in such a bad state, maybe, so he had to down for that. I mean, that's presumably what was going on, where the people were suffering based on Moshe's decrees at these particular points of time in history, and the Nevi'im davened so that they should be alleviated the suffering. That's presumably what happened. So now, I just want to point out the kra of al kra di cheskel hanefesh achotis hitamus mashmalei diary avksha ochsi masei avosem bidehem ubitak zeres moshil siv basar high kra loisa bavon av. So in other words, Yechezkel. So there are sort of three levels. There's one is if you simply do children get punished for the sins of their parents. So that we're saying if the children don't sin, according to everyone, they don't get punished. Moshe, according to Moshe, that they would get punished, they follow the footsteps of their parents, even for not only their sin, but for their parents' sin. And then Yechezkel said, no, you only get punished for your sin, not for your parents' sin. That's too much. So that's sort of how it goes down. And then the final decree was Moshe Amar. Moshe said, Vavaretem Bagoyim, that you're going to be destroyed completely amongst the nations. And then Yishayahu Amar, Yishayahu came and said, Vahaya B'yomahu Yitaka B'shofar Gadol, that there's going to be a big shofar sound, shofar blast, and then voho, the embarrassment means Ashur, right? And then the people are coming who were lost in the land of Ashur, and they will return. So they're going to return like almost like a lost object, you know, like Hashava Saveda, right? Ovdim, in other words, it's not vavaretem, can mean you're going to be lost forever. And Yishayahu says, no, what's lost means you're lost, but you're going to be found again. So that's what means that they're explaining. That it's not a contradiction to what Moshe said. Moshe said, Vavaratem. It could mean like Ibud, destroyed. or could be permanently lost. And Yeshayahu just says, no, I'm interpreting it as not permanently lost, but temporarily lost. So they're trying to mitigate. And Moshe is giving severe tochacha, severe rebuke. If the Bnei Yisrael don't live up to their expectations, and then when it happens, they don't live up to their expectations, so then the Nevi'im ask for rachamim, then they ask for mercy. So now you have a high standard initially, and we have to try to follow halacha. Klai has to follow what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, kedin, like MS. But then when we mess up, the Nevi'im, who are also chastising Klai, so they're also praying for their good, they're also seeking chesed as well. Now what's interesting is that if you look at the... I also pointed out the last three lines, the next marsha. So the he first points out that it's vavatem is like an aveda habispakeshes, but if you look at the last three lines, the marsha points out that these nevi'im are not in order, right? Because what do you have? You have Amos, then you have Yirmiyah, then Yechezkel and Yeshayahu. So Yeshayahu, he was a Navi in the time of Chizkiyahu, which was like, I don't know, 140 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So these Nevi'im are out of order. So he points out, so it's not the order of the Pesukim, the Torah. It's not also the order of the Nevi'im either. That he's saying that, but this is the order of these four gzeros are the order, the natural order of decree of what happens in Golos. Debadad yeshev tchilas achorban. So first is you're going to the beginning is you're going to be alone, and va'achar kach shlo yehem lohem margo begolos. Then they're not going to have any peace in Golos. And then va'achar kach sheyifko chavrosam albanim sheyivoldu lahem galus. And then because of their sins, bad things would happen to their kids in galus. And then va'achar vibaratem. And then they're going to be destroyed. So in other words, so the order of these four gzeros are in terms of what natural progression from bad to worse in the galus. So again, that's very important. Like I see this a lot throughout the Torah that there's severe threat of punishment to hold you up to the standard. And then when we fall, there's severe davening to mitigate the actual punishment. And we see that example over here. Okay. So, Amar Rav. So Rav says, Mistafina. He says that I am afraid. Behaikra from this pasuk. I'm afraid from the pasuk of Vavadtem Bagoyim. He's afraid because it seems that we're going to be completely destroyed. So Maskel of Rapapa says, no. Dilma... Kaveda hamispakeshes. No, maybe it doesn't mean they're going to be destroyed, but it's going to be like an aveda, a lost object that you're seeking. Dichsiv toisi kase oved bekesh avdecha. I'm looking for a sheep that I lost. So in other words, it's not according to Rav Papa. He's saying that the pasuk vavadatem means a lost object. The Marsha points out. Actually, that so he's arguing on the previous opinion. The previous opinion said that Moshe said Vavadatem that you're going to be destroyed. And what are they doing? What are these Nevi'im doing? They're lessening it. They say, no, don't read it Vavadatem and you're going to be destroyed. But read it, you're going to be lost. You'll be found. But Papa is saying to begin with, it's not. I'm sorry. Rav Papa asked, maybe it's simply you're going to be lost. And so then the Gemara wants to say that, so he thinks that it's not even a question of Moshe having a stricter gzera and them lessening it, because it simply means they're going to be lost. So rather, the Gemara is saying that he wasn't afraid of Vavadtem Bagoyim. But what was he afraid of? Elami Sefer Dekra V'Ochel Aschem Eretz Oyvechem. That the end of that pasuk says the land is going to consume you. Maski Fla Marzutra. Marzutra says, Dilma maybe Kachilas Kishuim V'Diluim. He's saying that, don't worry, maybe when the pasuk says the lamb will eat you up. It will be like the eating of, what are kishuin? The cucumbers and pumpkins. Like the eating of cucumbers and pumpkins. So what's the problem? Why is eating cucumbers and pumpkins not so bad? In other words, he was, we first said, oh, Vavadetem, you're going to be lost, you'll be destroyed. No, maybe somebody could be lost, you'll be found. So I'm not so scared of that. Now I'm scared the lion's going to eat you up. No, it's okay, they're only going to eat me up like cucumbers and pumpkins. Why is that not so scary? What's the imagery of a pumpkin and a cucumber?
Vegan.
What?
Vegan.
Vegan, okay. So the Marsha writes.
They have seeds that can keep going.
Very good, Artie. Good, Shkoya. The Marsha says, Perish. Kachilas kishuin she'eno nechal kulo, rak basar shebi v'chutz. You only eat the flesh of the fruit on the outside of Al-Hagar Inim. But the pits, Vazera Shebesocho, and the seed inside of it, Nisharu, they remain. Kain Yisharu Zera Yisrael Begolosam, so too the seed of Klal shall remain in their exile. He says, Vodia Shlomer, the Hachi Kamar Kor, this is what the Pasuk means to say. Va'achla Eschem Eretz Oivechem, and the land will consume you, the land of your enemies will consume you. Kamosha Oretz Ochlim Kishum Shleiman Shemenicha Bobasashal Hakishuim. So who kalab aretz? I said right. So it, the vegetable itself is consumed. Vahazera shebesocho eino kalab aretz. The seed inside is not consumed in the land. Vahadro is the opposite. Who nishrash baaretz? Already, it's right. It takes root in the land. Umatzmiach, and it grows and it sprouts. Vosapri shemegala kishum harbe, and it will grow many fruits that will grow many more cucumbers. Kein tochal. So he says that even if they consume you, there still be the seeds of you will remain, and you're going to grow more, and they're never going to be able to destroy you. So you know, no reason to be afraid. Okay, so now we're going to finish with the two stories of Rabbi Akiva. I'm sure many of us have studied, so we'll try to. I found a bunch of sources to sort of deal with some of the issues relating to these two stories. So, story number one. Uchvar Haya Rav Gamliel Rav Elazar ben Azariah Rav Yeshua Rav Akiva Mahalchi Maderech. So you have these Tanaim, Rav Gamliel Rav Elazar ben Azariah Rav Yeshua Rav Akiva. They're walking on the road. Vishamu Kol Hamona Shel Romi Mipalta. So they hear the sound of the Hamon. What's the Hamona? A lot of commotion, okay, a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise in the roads. And it says it's a distance of Mea Vestrimil, 120 mil. Okay, so what does that mean exactly? So how can it be 120 mil? That's like a lot, no?
80 miles.
What?
About 80 miles.
It's 120 kilometers. So like how can they actually hear? So I have the morale, and I didn't bring it down here. The morale says that, well, some say that they heard in Ruach HaKodesh. If you look in the Marsha, so what's the connection between this story of them hearing the Romans' success or the noise and the previous? So if you look in the second to last Marsha on the first side, Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, Binyan Hadal Gzeir Shebo Neviim Ubitlum. So similar to what Rav Yossi Bar Chanina said about the four decrees that the Neviim came and canceled it, Kvar Hayi Rav Gamliel, Rav Gamliel already said, Va'amar Rav Akiva Doma Le'iyan Zeh Shebo Navi Zecharya Bitel Nevuaso Gzeiros Ur Yeshaya L'Rag Kumforsh L'Kalin. We're going to see that there was a prophecy of Uriah, and then another prophecy, and one's canceling out the other. That's the connection between the two stories. And the next Marsha says, this wasn't a real sound they heard. But they heard that like there was a lot of quiet. The Romans were like relaxing. The Romans are doing very well. And that's why it could be 120 mil. Because they look all around them. The Romans are just relaxing. They're having a good time. And they're wondering, what about us? Aren't we the chosen nation? Right? This is right after the destruction of the second base of Migdash. So they're like, what's going on? So hischilu bochim. So they started to cry. Rabbi Akiva Masachik, Rabbi Akiva is laughing. Now, I don't have this in the source sheet, but he wrote that he wasn't really laughing because even he, you know, he asked that you have to rip you have to rip your garments when you see the Churban, but he was happy together with the pain. In other words, it's not that he was only happy. So, but in any case, Amr Lo, they asked him, right? They asked him, Lama, Bifnei Ma Tamasachek, why are you happy? Why are you rejoicing? And Amr Lahem, he said to them that, Vatem Bifnei Ma Tam Bochim, why are you crying? So Amr Lo, they said to him, Goyim Halol Shem Yishtach Nat Sabim Umekatim Lovas Kochavi. These nations that are bowing to idols and they offer, incense or to idolatry. They burn things to idolatry. Yoshvim betach vashkeit. They're sitting pretty. They're relaxing. Va'anu beis hadom ragle elokeinu. And us, our beis hamigdash, saruf va'esh, is burning in fire. V'lo nivke. And we're not crying. So why we wouldn't cry? So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Kiva says back to them, Lekachani mitzachek. So therefore, that's why I am laughing. Uma la'ovrei ritzono kach, la'osei ritzono lachas kama v'kama. So if the Romans, like he, Rabbi Kiva so much believes in scharva, onus, reward, and punishment, so he's saying to himself, if these sinners are having a good life, and trust me, God knows what he's doing, our reward is going to be that much better. So I just want to point out the Marsha, this is on the next side, the Marsha says, Lekach ani misachek, so he's saying, Vadai gam Rabbi Kiva moda jesh li star churban habayis. Obviously Rabbi Kiva believes that you have to cry over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because it says, Kol HaMisabel al Yerushalayim zocha v'ro b'sim chasa. Anyone who cries and who mourns over Yerushalayim will merit and see its happiness. Aval Amar, but he said, Masha tem mitstarim atal churban habayis mitam bishvil shatem roim shehim ovdei avos kochavim. The specific point about your distress that you see that they are worshiping idols and they're sitting comfortably, that specific point, lachach ani mesachek. In other words, he's happy about this one point that you're upset about. He's upset. There's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. His Shechina is not with us anymore because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, that we don't have Karbanos. So that's what he's upset about. But the specific point about the Romans sitting pretty, and we're not, said like that, don't worry. We're whatever they get, we're going to get so much better. He feels the loss, the pain that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not as close with us that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But it's this specific point that he has a different perspective on that. Okay? So, now, Pamachas, Shuv Pamachas, so this is the more famous story. So, there was another time that Hoyu Olim Yerushalayim. So these Tanaim were making Aliyah to Yerushalayim. They're going up, not making Aliyah. They were ascending to Yerushalayim. So Kevan Shigila Haratzofim Korbigdem. When they read Haratzofim, so there's a Machlokes in Psachim, what's Haratzofim? So Rashi says, I have it here, Im Avar Tzofim, so that's the name of a village. So if you can see, it's a village from where you can see Yerushalayim, that's when you have to tear Kriya. Right? Tosfos says it's any place around Yerushalayim that you can see it. So was Tzofim the name of a place, or does it mean a lookout? Or you can let Tzapot to see. So that's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. So they read Tzara Tzofim, Karu Begdeyam. So they all did tear Kriya. So that's a proof. Even Rabbi Akiva tear Kriya. So even he mourns over the destruction of Yerushalayim. Just on certain points where they're sad about it, that he sees the good way. He sees it in a positive perspective. So the Gemara continues. Kevan shehigiyu laharabayis. So once they reach the Temple Mount, so ra'u shuol sheyatza beis kodesh kodashim. They see a fox going out from the beis kodesh kodashim. Hischilu hein bochim. So they begin to cry. And Rabbi Akiva matzachek, and Rabbi Akiva is laughing. Amulo, they say to him, Ibnei Mata matzachek, why are you laughing? Amulo, says to them, Ibnei Mata bochim, why are you crying? So Amru lo, they say to him, Makom shekasuv bo, Hazor karev yumas, Vachshav sholim hochabov lo nivkeh. Harabais is a place about which, what does it say? Hazar HaKarev Yumas, that a non-Kohen who comes to the Beis HaMikdash, goes there, will die. To Kodesh HaKadashim, will die. And now the foxes are going there, we're not going to cry. Now what's interesting is this pasuk is not actually, does not actually mean that. If you look at it, the Aruch Haner points this out. He says, Mizem Mashma, to be pasuk ze asha onesh, hanichnas the base Kodesh HaKadashim. So it would seem from this Gemara, that Hazar Krev Yumas is the source to tell you that if a non-Kohen goes to the Kodesh Kadashim, he's Chayav Misa. Was that Tema? That's the question. This is the question. The Pasuk Zenemar Alzor Ha'oved Bamikdash Afilu Bazara. If you, and Kedamrinam B'Sifrei V'chem V'or B'Sanhedrin U'V'Ram V'Chidach. If you look in the Sifrei, if you look in Mesech Sanhedrin, you look at the Ram, you look at the Sifrei Chidach, and what will they tell you? The Pasuk says, Vazar Krev Yumas, what does it come to tell you? That if a non-Kohen does the Avoda, then he's Chayav Misa B'dei Shemaya. So it's not, so they're quoting a Pasuk that's not real, that doesn't really teach you this halacha. It's a little strange. So Avalaz Hara Va'onesh doesn't mean you can enter into Kodesh Kedoshim. Avalaz Hara Va'onesh Lech Lech Kodesh Kedoshim Asha mi ve'el ve'al yavo b'chaleis ala kodesh v'lo yomus kimvor b'toras kohanim v'yuma. So v'heach nachad kra d'ozar kev yuma. So the Aruch Haner says that the source that you're not allowed to go into Kodesh Kedoshim, that is in Parshas Achrei Mos, where the Torah says Achrei Mos shnei b'nei Aaron, that after the two children of Aaron, none of Avihu went to Kodesh Kedoshim, not at the right time, right? They were killed. Then Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Aaron, right, you can't go at any time to the Kodesh Kedoshim, ki ba'anan erel akaporos. So that's the source. So he's saying, why are these great Tanaim quoting the wrong pasuk? Okay, so just want to point out that there's a sefer called Binyan Zion. Now, I know that there's a tshuva of the Binyan Zion of the Rav Etlinger. I'm not sure if that's the same thing.
Actually, that's the Aruch Haner.
Right. So, yes, I don't think it's... So, there is a... Oh, yeah, you know what? It is. Mm-hmm. He said, v'sifro. Yeah, and in his sefer, the Aruch Haner of Etlinger, in his sefer, Binyan Zion, he says that very often what the Gemara will do is they will quote a pasuk, even though it's not the... You know, sometimes the Gemara has a line, you have to darshan, this word means this, and this word means that. Like, the simple meaning, Hazar Krev Yumas, a non-Kohen, a stranger who walks in, will die. Even though that's not how we understand it by comparing it to this pasuk and another pasuk and another pasuk, like how the Gemara sometimes, you know, there's certain halachos where the Torah says, right, don't murder, lo tirtzach. We know what that means, it's pretty clear. There are certain halachos that you have to see this pasuk and this word and the context here, because they're showing all these different calculations to get to a certain thing. So that's true. The pashas is Hazar Krev Yumas. They're not saying halachically that you learn that someone who is a stranger goes in, a non-Kohen goes in, will die. He's just saying that you know, they're quoting a pasuk, and they're saying this is what's going on here. We're saying the Kodesh Kedoshim where no one can enter, and the fox is coming in here. So that's how the Aruch Haner sort of deals with this. In any case, story continues. Amar Lahem. So, right, Rabbi Akiva says back to them, L'kach ani mitzachek. So this is why I'm laughing. Because you're crying, I'm laughing for this reason. Now, d'chsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, V'a'ida li edim ne'amonim. So I'm going to bring to me, I'm going to testify for me, truthful witnesses, Uriah HaKohen v'Zachariah ben Yiveh. What?
Yoyada.
Wait, what? Zechariah ben Yevarech Yehu.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong place.
Yivarech, okay. Yerech Yahu.
That's Zechariah of Nevi'im.
Right. So I'm going to have these two Nevi'im as my witnesses, Uriah and Zechariah.
Okay. I'm talking about when they murdered.
Yeah. So, and this is from, say, for Yeshayahu. Mm-hmm. So, Uriah, now v'chima inyan Uriah etzel Zechariah. Now, what connection does Uriah have to Zechariah? Uriah b'Mikdash Rishon. Uriah was in the first base of Mikdash, and Zechariah, right, was b'Mikdash Sheni. Zechariah was in the second base of Mikdash, right? The three Nevi'im on the second base of Mikdash are Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So, what's going on here? So we're bringing two witnesses, one from the first temple, one from the first Mikdash, one from the second. What's the connection between the two? Now, so he wants to say, Ella, Tala Akasa Devuaso Shel Zechariah. So we're hanging the Nevuah of Zechariah b'Nevuaso Shel Uriah. We're connecting the Nevuah of Zechariah to the Nevuah of Uriah. Now, b'Uriah Ksiv, in Uriah it says, L'chein b'glalchem Tzion Sara Techaresh, that because of you, Tzion will become a plowed field, and Yerushalayim will become, you know, also a plowed field, and the Har HaBayis will turn into a forest, right? When something turns into a forest, what who prances around? Animals, like a fox. B'Zechariah Ksiv Od Yeshvu Zekinim Zekinim B'Rechovos Yerushalayim. And in Zechariah, it says that the elders will sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. Ad shlo niskaima nevuasa shel Uriah, hayisi misyareh shlo tiskaima nevuasa shel Zechariah. Until the prophecy of Uriah was fulfilled, I didn't know if the prophecy of Zechariah would be fulfilled. Achshav shen niskaima nevuasa shel Uriah, now that the prophecy of Uriah was fulfilled, biyadua, I know for sure, shen nevuasa shel Zechariah miskaimes, that the prophecy of Zechariah will be fulfilled. So a lot of questions here. So, the first question is, right. So one question is, what do you mean, Rabbi Akiva didn't believe in the prophecy of Zechariah, right? What do you mean? I didn't know if the prophecy of Zechariah, why? You don't believe in the prophecy of Zechariah? That's one question. And we're going to get to that.
Actually, he didn't believe in both.
Right. Well, maybe. I mean, what he says was, until I believed in Uriah, but I wasn't sure about Zechariah. Until Uriah was fulfilled. Now I just want to point out the Tosas. Let's read Tosas here. Tosas asks a question for those who say Tanakh. Is that right? Tosas says the Kasha. This is a big question. The Uriah's prophecy. There's no pasuk. He says Uriah said. Right. We have this. Yeshayahu said. You got these two witnesses. You got Uriah and you have Zechariah. Uriah never said this prophecy. This pasuk. That was said by who? By Micha. The source is Micha. So how could Rabbi Akiva say that the author of this prophecy was Zechariah? Not Zechariah. It was Uriah. So Yesh Lomar, so you can say, the Samech Ahod the Isa Sefer Yirmiyah, that it's connected to what's written in Sefer Yirmiyah. Shenisnabe Yirmiyah Poranus. The Yirmiyah prophesies on the suffering. Veniskabtsu Akonim Vanvim Lahargo. And the Kohanim and the Nevi'im got together to kill him. Mibnei Shahayim Adabe Poranus, because he was prophesying doom and gloom. Vamru Lahem, and they said to them, Vamru Lahem Asarim, and the Sarim said to them, Einanu Maskimim, we don't agree that you should harm Yirmiyahu. Shere Micha Diba Mi Poranus Volnera Vagam Uriah. That Micha and also Uriah also spoke about punishment. Mashma shadibur Uriah kamo Micha. It implies that Uriah said what Micha said. Uma poronus diber Micha hu krazeh v'hu kamo shadibur Uriah. So Uriah said that which what Micha said. So what's going on here? So I brought you. We'll read through this quickly. Yirmiyahu perichavav. This is what Tosus is bringing this story here. So it says, "Bereis Mamluchus Yehoyakim Bar Yeshua Melch Yehuda Yedvar Hazem Eis Hashem Leimor." In the beginning of the kingdom of Yehoyakim, so I think he's after. I think Yeshua dies. It's about 23 years before the destruction of the first base of Migdash. In the beginning of his kingdom, so basically Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, "Komar Hashem Amod Bachatz Beis Hashem Dibarta Al Kol Orei Yehuda Bar Nishtachos Beis Hashem As Kol Advarim Asher Tivisichol Dibar Alehem Al Tikra Dvar." Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, I want you to say, I want you to stand in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. I want you to tell everyone everything I'm going to tell you. Don't hide anything. Don't miss anything. Maybe the people will listen to the tshuva. And I'm going to relent on the evil which I thought to do. And you're going to say to them, Komar Hashem, Im lo tishmu elai lechaz b'torasi. And I want you, you'll be able to say, if you don't listen to my voice, and that if you don't listen to the words of my prophets, basically I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, I want you to go to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and I want you to tell people doom and gloom if you don't shape up, you don't do tshuva. So what happens? Pasuk Zayim. Vayishmu kohanim v'anevim v'cholam es Yirmiyahu medaber es hadvarim ha'eleh b'beis Hashem. So the kohanim, the nevim, so they have the spiritual leaders, but these are the false prophets. The kohanim and the nevim, so the rabbis, the false rabbis, and all the people heard Yirmiyahu speaking this. Vayhika chalos Yirmiyahu medaber es kol asher tziva Hashem medaber es kol ha'am. And once Yirmiyahu prophesies the doom and gloom, he prophesies against what all the other nevim were prophesizing, in other words, the false prophets. So they were really upset because he's going against the status quo. All the Kohanim and the Levim are saying, no, it's all good. Everything's going to be great. Just keep on behaving the way you're behaving. And here Yirmiyahu is causing havoc in the country, so we want to kill him. Why are you prophesizing that this place is going to be like Shiloh? Then what happened with Pasuk Yud? Vayishmu Sarei Yehuda Sedvar Ma'elab. The officers of Yehuda heard these words. Vayalu Mibeis Hamel Beis Hashem Vayishu Pesach Shar Hashem Echadash. So they go up, and Vayom, the political leaders say, not the spiritual leaders. The political leaders say, Vayomu Akodim Vanvim Al Sarim Vakam Lemor Mishpah Moes Lishazem. The spiritual leaders, not the Krum spiritual leaders, the Vayi Sheker. So they say to the officers that Mishpat Maves, he should die because he prophesied about this. Vayomer Yirmiyahu, Pasuk Yud Beis, Yirmiyahu said to the people, listen to me, Hashem Shlachani Linavei Abayis Devil Irazos, it's called Dvar Mishir Shematem. Listen, God sent me, okay? Atem Eitiv Derechem Alachem, Vishimu Kol Hashem Alkechem. Listen, you can improve your ways and listen to Hashem. Vayinochem Hashem Alarosh, Yidibar Alechem, and Hashem will change his plan. It's not over, it's not doom and gloom if you do tshuva. And do with me what you want. I'm just telling you, this is what God said. But you need to know this. We'll see if you kill me. You're shedding innocent blood. Okay? Pasuk Tezayin. So who saves Yirmiyahu? Not the Kohanim and the Nevi'im, but the political leaders, the officers. They say Yirmiyahu does not deserve death. Why? Now, some elders, who remember a little bit of the history of the Jewish people, so they get up, what do they say? Hold on. 1 second. So what do they say? Oh, do I have this? Oh, all right. So what do they say? They say, Micha Marashti Haya Niba, Bimei Chizkiyo Melch Yehuda. So Micha prophesies in the days of Chizkiyahu, so Micha prophesied in the days of Chizkiyahu, saying that just like what Yirmiyahu is saying now, that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed if you don't do tshuva. Did Chizkiyahu kill Micha? Didn't he fear God? And what happened? God changed his mind. So why didn't he kill Yirmiyahu? Yirmiyahu is just telling him to do tshuva. And then Pasuk Chaf says, Vegam, and there was some Vegam Ish Haya Misnabe B'Shem Hashem Uriya Ben Shmayahu Mikiras Hayarim Vayinovei Al Ira Zot Valarta Zot Kechola Divrei Yirmiyahu. And there was also someone who prophesied in the name of Hashem. His name was Uriya, like what Yirmiyahu said, which was like what Micha said. So therefore, by the end, it goes on. What happened? They ended up. They actually killed Uriah because he prophesied that. But Yirmiyahu was saved at this point. So point being that Tosis points out that even though we never have a mention of Uriah actually saying this in the text, but there is a presumption based on here in Yirmiyahu Perchavav that Micha prophesied this line in the days of Chizkiyahu, and Bnei Yisrael did tshuva. Uriah made the same prophecy as Micha, at least the way Tosa understands this, in, I guess in the times of Yirmiyahu, but but actually he was killed for that prophecy. So that's what he means when Rabbi Akiva says that Uriah prophesies this. That's the first thing that that Tosfos says. What's interesting is that, so why didn't he say Micha? And that's why he mentioned Uriah.
Closer in time, maybe.
Right. So first of the pasuk you share with us, it said Micha, but the Anaf Yosef says that the prophecy of Micha ended up not being fulfilled because of the tshuva. Mm-hmm. In other words, Micha gave a prophecy, the lands would be destroyed, right? And the people did tshuva, so it wasn't destroyed. Mm-hmm. Uriah did the prophecy and ended up coming true because they did not do tshuva. Right? So, and then Tosus finishes and Tosus says, of Akashev, we have a question, can you go back to Tosus? Minalad de osa nevuah dechsiv od yeshuz kem zkenos berchoz hila olam haba. Dilmahi ba'olam kodim hagula. He says, wait, how do you know, maybe this, he says, like, how do you know that this, this prophecy of Zechariah is in the future. Maybe it's before the redemption. So, v'yishlom d'imash shehu omar b'pesach sheni nicha d'kamar sidim the mesim sheyichyu d'chsiv oh yeshuz kames kedet v'rechobos v'yechuk amish an osam. So, if you continue in Zechariah, what does it say? That od yeshuz zekenim and zekenos, that the elders will live in the streets of Yerushalayim. And the pasuk continues, Ve'ish mishanto biyado mirov yomim. And everyone's going to have his staff. The term mishanto is a term of art. And it's a word that doesn't come up so often. And the word mishanto, where does it say that? Elisha shehech yahames, ksiv mishanto. V'gurim mishenes, haikrom mishenes el Elisha. Malahalan hech yahames, avkan tchias hamesim. So what we're saying is the prophecy of Zechariah is going to be a time of Tchias HaMeisim. What does it mean that they're ever going to have a walking staff? What's that lashon? It's a very strange lashon. So it's referencing the Mishenes that Elisha used when he did Tchias HaMeisim. So therefore the prophecy of Zechariah will only come in a time of Tchias HaMeisim. So that's what he said. So it says, in Cain, Al Cain, Hai Nevuah LaSid Lavo, Shere Over Beit Baisus Baisheni, Shloitzu Tchias HaMeisim. So therefore, it's obviously, the prophecy of Zechariah is going to be in the future at a time of Tchias HaMeisim. Now, the Aruch HaNer deals with Ben's question. So the Aruch HaNer asked the question, I think it's here, 1 second, let me see if I've got this. One second. So, one second. Yeah, so the Aruch HaNer says the following. He says, "Va'od yeshlom b'yishuv zeh b'shenedaktek od." Lama yiskir Rabbi Akiva dafka beiz nivos elu. Why is Rabbi Akiva mentioned these two prophecies? Halo kama neviim nivu b'peranos uvigulas Yisrael. There are many neviim who prophesized about the redemption of Yisrael. V'lama talo akos beiz nivos ha'ela dafka ba'adadi. Why is he mentioned these two prophecies with each other? Uviyoshiated more. And additionally, we could ask, Masha Amar Rabbi Akiva, this was Ben's question, that which Rabbi Akiva said, I was afraid that the prophecy of Zechariah would not be fulfilled. Chas v'shalom, that he's going to doubt the fulfilling the word of God by his prophet. But you can say, that Uriah prophesies in Bias Rishon. Mistama nevuasa haisa al churban hasamuch dahayne sheyecher habayis rishon asher matzaz. So Uriah is prophesizing about the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. V'yelaim v'bas yar v'chein Zechariah sheniba bishas churban divrei nechama od Yeshu zekenim mistama niba alzman binyan bayishenia karov lavo. In other words, if I were to ask you, what's Uriah prophesizing about? The destruction of the first base of Mikdash. What's Zechariah prophesizing about? The building of the second base of Mikdash. So, and where's Rabbi Akiva standing now? After the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. So,
So he says, right, so Mistama, Nibal's, okay, sorry. V'chein rov, divrei nechumi hanavim, hoya efshel afarish, abay sheni, kamosha kafar kofar mitshuas Yisrael. And maybe you could argue that most of the prophecies of the Nevi'im are talking about the second Beis HaMikdash. Who's they talking about? The future, after, you know, who's talking about the third Beis HaMikdash? V'lchein tala akasa devuas Zechariah b'devuas Uriah. So therefore we're connecting the prophecy of Zechariah to the prophecy of Uriah. Lahoy, to testify, she calls man shetiru kiyum nevuas Uriah, that as long as you see the fulfillment of the prophecy of Uriah, teidu shadayin lacham lekavos al kiyum nevuas Zechariah, then you can hope for the prophecy of Zechariah. The od yeshuz came as kenos. Well, the low Rav Hillel, and not like Rav Hillel, damar b'chelek, she meshich lishosh, shekvar achlu b'imei chizkiyah. There was an individual, Rav Hillel, not Hillel Azakim, Rav Hillel believed that Mashiach's not coming, because he was chizkiyah. So, the haidu sheh b'esav gula lo yizkula tovas olam hazeh, v'al kein, hamida kadosh baruch hu le'edim Uriah Zechariah. Kadosh baruch hu put out for us as witnesses Uriah and Zechariah. Dichshatiru shenavu azu mukuyemes b'churim b'yesheni, teidu shadayin lachem l'kavos shetekuyam b'chem nevu Zechariah. That they didn't see foxes running through the Harabayas in the destruction of the first base of Migdash. So in other words, the Uriah's specific prophecy about Harabayas is going to become a forest. That, now obviously Rabbi Akiva believed in both prophecies coming true. But maybe they already took place, he was thinking, and maybe he didn't notice. So the point being, I'm afraid that maybe Zechariah's prophecy was on the second Beis HaMikdash. So however, once the Pasuk Yishayahu ties the prophecy of Zechariah to the prophecy of Uriah, then what's really happening? We're saying that only after the prophecy of Uriah happens, then the prophecy of Zechariah is going to happen. What's the prophecy of Uriah? Yerushalayim is going to become a forest. When did that happen? After Churban Bayis Sheni. And therefore, the prophecy of Zechariah is what? Prophecy of Zechariah is that post Bayis Sheni, there will be a Beis HaMikdash. And the Zehu Lashon Edim Namanim. And this is the Lashon of Edim Namanim. The Chmosh Zechariah Eid Alatova Asid Lavo Lachem. The just as Zechariah testified about the good that's going to be in the future, Cain Uriah Eid. Uriah is also a witness. Therefore, when he saw in his eyes the prophecy, he saw in his eyes the fulfillment of the prophecy of Uriah, he was happy. So then he knew that the prophecy of Zechariah is going to be after the destruction of the second base of Midian. It's going to be something in the future. Just like a couple more points, because I think we have 2 minutes. The Marsha says, we're not going to read it inside, but he said, obviously, again, Rabbi Akiva's mourning, but he's saying, there's no reason to mourn about the fox more than anything else. He obviously is mourning over the Churban Bayis, but the idea of a fox running, that's actually good, because that focuses on something positive. The idea is you have to acknowledge the bad, but you also have to focus on the good. So then, they finish, and they say, and you can say it, you know, you can do it at home, you can do your hadron. But he says, Balashon azeh amrulo, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu. So they said, Akiva, you have comforted us. And there's a double lashon of nichamtanu. So what's the double, so I have it somewhere here. The double lashon of, wait a second. The double lashon of nichamtanu. So if you look in the, I have here, in the different explanation, the Marsha says, number one, there were two things. There were two stories. So each one was a separate story. However, the Aruch Lener says, the first story, they didn't receive any tanchumi, but here they doubled. Why? Because in the first story, Rabbi Akiva says that they were still, okay, in the future, we're gonna be rewarded. But they still had tsar, they still had pain to see the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. But now, the Rabbi Akiva gives them comfort in the second story, that we will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They're saying, no, we're comforted even for your first story. That not only will the Churban be for the good of Klal Yisrael, that Hashem did destroy us, but we see that it will be good for us in the future. We'll have a Beis HaMikdash, and we'll be rewarded in the future. Okay, Hadron Alecha, Elohim Makos, Eslik Allah, Mesech Makos. Shkoyach, everyone.
Rabbi?
Yes.
When I think of this story, Rob, of on the Fox,